If you would turn with me to Psalm 121, I didn't memorize it today. It was a busy week, so I couldn't memorize this one for you guys, but thank you for your grace in that. So if you could read along with me, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What I want to focus on today is I want us to really ask this question of ourselves. Where does our help come from? Where do we look for help? Or maybe better said, where should we look for help? We all have moments where we're in great need, where we realize that our strength isn't enough to overcome the time or the season or the trial or our frailties or our pains or our weaknesses or even our hard heart. You know, sometimes we feel, wow, my heart is hard here. My heart needs to be moved. It needs to be softened, but I don't know how to soften it. I know I'm off track here and I know I need help, but Lord, I feel helpless. Will you help me? We need to know where to look because only God is able to save. Only God is able to help us grow into maturity in Christ. That's the call of the church, right? Why does the church gather? That we grow in maturity in Christ. Maybe some of us feel today, I feel helpless. I feel like I can't grow and become more like Christ. I feel like I can't love my spouse. I feel like I can't forgive a person who has wronged me. I feel like I can't get my heart to a generous place. Like, there's so many ways that we might feel helpless. I want you to know today that the Lord is our helper and he can change us. Amen? And he can save us and he can rescue us and he can teach us. And he actually loves to be called our keeper. You know, a few months ago, I went horseback riding. You know, I haven't been horseback riding too much. It's fun. But one of the things that really hit me, the lessons I learned when I went horseback riding, was the woman who was keeping these horses was such a great keeper. Like, the way she cared for these animals, they were healthy, they were cared for, they were fed. She knew all their frailties. Like, every horse had a problem. Like, I went to one horse, and like, this horse has just, the eyes just leak. And she gave me like this is the disease they have. Their eyes are leaking, so we have to keep the flies out of their eyes. So they made some sort of contraption that cared for their eyes. Like, they just put over their head. And they loved this horse the same. Like, this is just their problem, but that's how we keep them. Then there's another horse that just had bowel movements all the time, just a nervous horse. Like, they're like, this one we can't control. They're just everywhere. So we had to get them medicine. So we give them this medicine so they can not be so stressed out, so they can enjoy life and not be going to the bathroom all the time. Then there was another horse that would just nip the horses in the rear end when they did when you got on the horses and followed the path. And one horse would just aggravate all the other horses. Like, he just nip at them and bug them and get out of line and do it. But they said, listen, we still love this horse. We're going to put him behind the most mature horse that can deal with the fact that they're going to nip him the whole time. And he was the only one that wouldn't kick that horse in the face. And I was like, they understood that horse so much, they said, listen, this one's a problem, but we're going to put him behind our most mature person so he can still walk on the trail with us and make it through. And I just remember the way, like, she spoke with pride when we're driving on, you know, pretending we're, you know, cowboys. And she's like, you know what I do? I come out here and I shovel all the horse debris, and I love it. She's like, I love caring for these horses in this way. And when she fed them like someone she loved. And she had names for them, and she knew them. She was their keeper. She loved helping them. And I just remember being so moved by how this woman did her job that it made me think about myself as a pastor, and it made me think about the way God cares for us. And what the psalm is saying today, and you'll see it, that the Lord is here to help us, and he is our keeper. And that these horses were so healthy. Some of them had come from places where they were like, you pay for a ride, or they were at carnivals. So the lady said they were kind of, I forget how she explained it, but they were kind of beat up on. Like, when you're that kind of horse in those kind of situations, like, your knees start to give, and, you know, everyone's poking at you, and these kind of things. And she said, I love bringing them in here to this ranch, because now I can care for them and get them healthy. And I said, wow, that is a wonderful thing. And so, but they knew they had a good keeper. They loved this woman. I want us to see God as our keeper today, because I want us to know that we're healthy and cared for, and God is watching over our life, and he will keep us through anything, and he never gets tired of us asking for help. Amen? That's an important thing, because life is tough. Life is tough, and it is the helpless who are the strongest in the kingdom of God. This is very, very important. So we're going to focus on three things today. Where does our help come from? God is teaching us to trust him as our keeper. And thirdly, how do we grow and learn how to look to God for help? So let's begin here. Where does our help come from? This is a major question that I just gave to you guys, that you should really ask your soul on this journey of life. Where does my help come from? Who is my help? Where can I find strength? Where can I turn where my feet won't be moved? Where can I turn where for protection? Where is my help? See, this psalm is called by many the soldier's psalm, because many believe that David wrote it in the camp before the battlefield. And he was getting ready for battle, and he said, where does my help come from? Because I'm about to go into a life or death situation. Where does my help come from? Who can I trust for my strength? Because David said, I don't trust in chariots. See, some guys go into battle and say, man, I got a nice chariot, I'm going to be all right. Or they say, wow, the armor's really good. Or this sword, if I only have this sword, I'm going to light them up. David said, no, my help doesn't come from the sword. My help doesn't come from the chariots. My help doesn't even come from my armor. My help comes from the Lord. He's the one who's my keeper. Whether I live or die, I'm going in this battle. He will keep my life. He knows my day, my hour. If it's my time, I'll go out for his glory. Because he knew God as his keeper. It's also called the traveler psalm, because many think it's possible David was on a journey, and when you travel, you just feel how life is moving and there's a lot of change and nothing is set. And so he looked to the hills and he said, that's where my help comes from. There's a reason he lifted up his eyes to the hills, because he was looking at the might of creation. And he was realizing that God made all of this. Have you ever had those moments when you're looking at the mountains, or you're looking at the vastness of the ocean, or you look down in the canyon, and you realize that a God who is personal to you, a God who lives inside of you, is actually the one who made all of this beauty and the power of nature? And you say, if my help comes from the one who made those mountains and who crafted the skies and who created the galaxies and who puts the earth on its axis, then I'm in good shape. Because if he's the one, if that's his might, then he has the power to take care of me. This is so important to see God as the one who can help. I remember years ago, I lived in a three-family in Lynn. And it was the most, they used to make the staircases like you could barely get around them. Does anyone know those staircases? You'd be walking like this just trying to get up the staircase. You know what I mean? And so we had to get a TV up there. I'm not talking your flat screen LCD or whatever it is now. It turns, it's like thin. It's like a piece of paper you put up now and just change the channel. It wasn't like that. It was like a bureau that they fit a TV into. So you'd have like a bureau, you'd be calling five of your friends, listen, you take the left, I'll take the right, and they want us to get this up three floors. So I had a buddy with me who shouldn't have been at the job. This was not the guy, if you're listening, I love you, bro. But we were both $1.40 soaking wet. And I looked at this TV, And I realized we didn't have the help we needed to get up these stairs. But I'm trying to be kind. I'm like, let me call somebody for more help. Who did I call? You know where we're going, Cliff. We called the Cliff. Still in shape in his mid-40s, Pepsi shirt on, always tucked in, roll up the sleeve, biceps pumping. He showed up. Let's get this TV up the stairs. But I felt in better shape when Cliffy rolled up because I felt like he was doing his reps at the gym. I said, okay, we got a chance to get this up the stairs. Now, he looked at us as if we were no help. He did. He said, you guys, get to the gym. You're no help to me. What he said to us, and this is legendary to me, he said, I want you guys to take this TV, you put it on my back. You just balance it. And he army crawled up the stairs as we balanced the bureau, right? Yeah. We looked to the right person for help. We would have never got that TV up. Why do I tell you this story? This is so important. Because when we look at creation, and Martin Lloyd-Jones does a great job explaining this, we see the might of God. When you see the mountains, when you see the vastness of the ocean, when you see the beauty of canyons, when you see the sky, you see that's God's might. When he sends his son Jesus to die for us and rise again, that's his power. When he steps in the details of your life and sovereignly moves everything to take care of, that's your power. That's like someone at the gym rocking the bicep, the lads are popping out. That's their might. You see their might, right? When they get on the bench and they push it up, that's their power. Okay? David was looking at the might of God. He said, look at this. Look at the might of my king. Look what he can do. He said, he has more than enough power to take care of me. Do you guys hear that? That's where our help comes from. And that's what we have to hold on every day. I'm not just saying in tough times. We need to hold on to that every single day of our life. We are not our own helpers. God is our keeper. In times we thought we kept ourselves, we didn't. Times we thought we did it on our own, we didn't. He was carrying us the whole way, amen? So where do we look for the help? We look to Jesus. We look to the hills and the God that made them, and he is our helper. See, God is teaching us to trust him as our keeper. He's teaching us that through our life. To trust him as our keeper. You know, six times in those eight verses, God calls us. He calls himself our keeper. Listen to this. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he keeps Israel. He keeps the people of God. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forevermore. He just says, I'll keep you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord is your keeper. I want this to be driven into our souls today so we can hold on to that with strength. See, a keeper is a guardian, a defender, a bodyguard. God's your bodyguard. You can think of it like that. He's your guardian. He's your keeper. See, it's hard to see God as our keeper sometimes. Because those who were meant to keep us let us down. For some of us, maybe our father was supposed to be our greatest keeper. And he abandoned post. Or he sat back while everything went on and he didn't step into the battle. And what happens is we see that those who were supposed to keep us did not step up in the plate. And so what do? I'm going to help myself. If those who are supposed to keep me won't keep me, then I'm going to help myself. And it creates this unhealthy, independent spirit in us where we feel we can just help ourselves through anything in life. I know that's tempting, but God is calling you out of that and calling you to trust him as your keeper. Maybe it's a spouse. They were supposed to be your keeper. But they abandon post. Or they don't step in and they take their post and they advocate. So all of a sudden you say, you know what? If those who are supposed to keep me aren't going to keep me, I'm going to help myself. And I'll be here I'll help myself through anything. I know that's tempting, but God is calling you to be, to you trust him as your keeper. It could be a spiritual leader, a pastor. They were supposed to be your spiritual keepers. And they abandoned posts for whatever reason. Money, fame, accolades, whatever it was. You said, you're supposed to keep me. But you abandoned post. And if you're not going to spiritually keep me, if you won't walk through this battle with me, if you won't walk through this journey with me, I'm going to help myself. I'll be my own spiritual keeper. I know it's tempting to do that. But the Lord is speaking to you today through the psalm. He is your keeper. Trust him in that. The scriptures give a wonderful reason why we should trust God as our keeper. What does it say constantly in that psalm? He doesn't sleep or slumber. He doesn't get tired. Know what I am today? Tired. Know what you guys have told me today you are? Tired. I'm just tired. You ask people now, they don't even say anything. How you doing? Just tired. I'm just tired. I'm sick of it. I need a nap. I need to go to bed. Everyone's just tired. Except for Nathan. That is because we are human and we are but dust and we get tired and we need rest. We cannot help like God helps. We fall far short. But God, the beauty is God understands that. It says the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He's patient because he realizes we're dust. But he says, you can trust me. And we can still take help from each other, but we only have so much energy. But he says, I will never get sick of helping you. You know how you feel like you're bothering someone when you keep asking for help? Listen, am I bothering you? Let me ask you one more question. Can you just help me one more time? Last time, I swear. There's none of that with God. Yeah, my hands are constantly open, Jesus says. I'm constantly here to be your strength. My blood is still washing clean your sins. You need help being free in your mind, free your soul? Drink from this river. He is always there to help. You know what the catch that is? We always need help. We always need help. You know, at the gym, there's this 30 to 40 year old woman that is physically challenged. She can barely get around by herself to go from machine to machine. She's probably 30 to 40, and her parents come in with her, and they're about 60 or 70, somewhere around that range. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep her muscles moving so she doesn't lose all functionality of her muscles and so she can enjoy some quality of life. And they walk from machine to machine with her, and they help her do each machine. And I'm always so moved by that. I'm always moved by the love of her father and mother. And one thing I believe is true, is they are so glad they are there to help their daughter. They want to help her. They feel blessed to be able to help her. They never one time say, no, we're not going to help you, or I'm not going to help you get this, you know, work this machine. They say, we love you so much, daughter. Keep looking to me so we can help you through this tough thing called life. Now imagine those are earthly parents, and they give good things to their daughter and they love her. What does the scripture say? How much more will your heavenly father give you good things and help you out throughout your life? How much more does God want to help you? How much more does he understand our weakness and frailty? This is the maker of heaven and earth. You think he's impressed by us? Do you think that he's caught off guard? Oh, I didn't realize they were that weak. There's 7 billion of us. See, we create ourselves stronger than we are in our minds, right? We think we're like, man, I must be the center of the universe because I'm impressing myself here. But God looks down as a loving father and says, there's 7 billion of them. I love them, but one thing I realize about them is they're weak and I have to be their strength. So important. So important. So God wants us to trust him as our keeper. I want to give you really just one application point here on how do we learn to look to God for help. Through self-examination, see yourself as helpless. Through self-examination, see yourself as helpless. Because this is the kind of heart God is looking for. You know, there's something in Celebrate Recovery that is a 12-step program, but a Christ-centered 12-step program. And the first step, they say, to recovery is this. We admitted that we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. The first step to anyone recovering or maturing in Christ is admitting that we're powerless to overcome it ourselves. Some of you, there's stuff going on in your life. There's strongholds, there's habits, there's addictions, there's selfish impulses, there's impulsivity, there's compulsive behaviors. And maybe you've been trying to manage it yourself. But what Jesus is crying out to you because he loves you today, he's saying, examine yourself. You can't help yourself. Claim your helplessness. Because that's when I can work in your heart. Claim that you can't do it. And that's the hearts and the people that God uses. The helpless person is actually the strongest person because he looks to God for his help. That's why in the kingdom of God it says the weak are strong. The poor are rich. The last are first. What are one of the things that the Lord hates? He gives us seven of them. He hates a haughty look. He hates that I can do it look. I hate that look. Because it's an illusion. It's vanity. But he loves the man or woman on their knees crying out and say, God, I got nothing in the tank. My heart's a mess. My life's a mess. I need your mercy. Would you strengthen me so I can love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so I can love others? Would you do that for me? That's the heart that Jesus helps. And that's why Jesus in his first message, what did he start his first sermon out, the intro, the first sentence? They will teach you in preaching that the first words you say are the most important because people will decide in the first 3 minutes if they're going to listen to you or not. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who look inside and say, I don't have what it takes. Blessed are those who look inside and say, I'm weak and I'm frail. Blessed are those who look inside and say, I'm a great sinner who needs a great Savior. Blessed are those who look inside and say, I need the Lord to wash me clean because I'm impure. The helpless hearts, the poor in spirit. Do you know why the religious leaders couldn't stand Jesus? Because he hung around with drunkards and he hung around with sinners and he hung around with tax collectors. And they said, why are you with these people? He said, because those who are well have no need for a physician. But those who are sick, I came for them. Let me unpack that a little bit for you. Jesus wasn't saying the Pharisees had it all together, the Sadducees, the religious leaders had it all together. They would pin him to a cross. He was saying they don't see themselves as needing any help. They're so self-righteous, they think they have it together. They have no need in their minds for a Savior. But you know this drunk guy at the bar? He gets it. He looks at me, three drinks in, and says, I'm a mess. You know this tax collector? Yeah, he's taking people's money. But you know what? He's having trouble sleeping at night. And you know what he says to me? He says, I know this is wrong. How do I change? You know that woman you threw into the street to stone because she's in sexual immorality? You know what her cry isn't? I have it all together. It's Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. I'm helpless. This is the heart that God's looking for. So where does our help come from? It comes from Jesus Christ, maker of the heaven and the earth, the author of everything that was made. It says in the scriptures, everything was made through him. The one who is looking to save those who need a savior and recognize it. He gave us hope when we had no hope. He gave us help when we needed all the help in the world. And that's permanent. That's forevermore. What does it say in that scripture? He'll be your keeper. You're going in and you're coming out forevermore. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus cares for us. He loves us. He's our keeper. And you're loved by God. Let's pray.